Fewer HVAC companies are truly family-owned these days, but Care still is. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of Care Heating and Cooling. Today, more and more companies are backed by venture capital firms, where profit goals often drive a sales-first culture. At Care, we operate with family values. That means honest recommendations, fair pricing, and technicians who are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. So for honest, fair service, call Care Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Today is Wish Day, and it is the culmination of our Wish Week here on the station. And we would love to make 2026 the biggest Wish Week yet. And we're asking people to donate anything that they possibly can at makeawish.ie/donate. And you have, in fairness to you, as I knew you would, been donating in your droves. Earlier this morning when I spoke to Anton, he set a target for the Claire Byrne listeners of 80,000. Well, you knocked that out of the park. I think you were there at about 20 to 10 this morning. But of course, they want more. 85,000 is what they're looking for this hour. Can we get it up to that? And look, you've been listening to stories across the station, I know, this week. Make-A-Wish grants life-changing wishes for children with critical medical conditions. It's about giving families in their worst hours moments of joys and memories for their children. It's a really worthwhile charity, and you can help by donating today. We have a little added incentive. We have spot prizes to give away, and we also have a fantastic two-night stay. We'll cover your flights. We'll cover a four-star hotel for two people in Lisbon in Portugal. That's thanks to the fabulous people at Sunway who have given us that break. To get into the draw, all you have to do is donate, right? Give what you can at makeawish.ie/donate. Then screen grab your proof of donation, WhatsApp that to us, 087-1400-106, and you'll be in the draw. That's all thanks to Sunway, one of Ireland's most trusted holiday companies. Terms and conditions apply. So go on, dig deep, get your donations in now if you can. Now, have you been hearing across the bulletins this morning? President Trump has announced a ceasefire overnight between Israel and Lebanon. More than 1 million people have been displaced by the Israeli invasion of the south, while airstrikes have struck across the country, killing people, targeting villages and major cities. Trump described it as exciting and says he thinks Hezbollah will keep to the ceasefire.
Actually, it's very exciting because it's 48 years. We're going to be meeting with Bibi Netanyahu, as you know, and the president of Lebanon. And I had a great talk with both of them today. They're going to be having a ceasefire, and that'll include Hezbollah. And I think it could be number 10 for me.
Well, Channel 4 news presenter Matt Fry joins me on the line now. Matt, lovely to talk to you as always. Can you start, I suppose, by outlining what exactly has been agreed here? Are there any conditions attached? And is every party actually on board with this?
Well, that's a very good question. And I love the fact that he referred to number 10. You kind of wonder, what is he talking about? Is it, you know, number 10? It sounds like a beauty contest. But I think what he was talking about was that this is the 10th war that he had settled since coming back to office. He didn't mention the one that he started on the 28th of February, but we'll leave that for another day. So the conditions of the ceasefire, which is only 10 days long, are, I think, relatively limited. And the key question is, and he rightly pointed to this, is, you know, will Hezbollah stick to it? They were not party to the talks. They were not involved in the talks because they are a proscribed terrorist organization. So the talks took place between the Lebanese side, a delegation led by the president, Mr. Aoun, and the Israeli side, and then the Americans, of course, as brokers. Now, Hezbollah, I think, has indicated that they would comply with the ceasefire, adding the sort of, you know, the clause that this will only happen if there's free movement of people to the south of the country, which is currently occupied by Israel, and if the Israelis essentially remove their troops from the areas that they have invaded. Now, that is not going to happen. And if you look at the wording of the Hezbollah kind of addendum to the ceasefire, you know, it leaves a little bit of wiggle room for them, because I think they essentially want to stop fighting for a bit. They want to regroup. They've got 10 days to kind of gather their material and their men, and then get ready for round two of all this. the key question is, will the Israelis comply by the ceasefire? I mean, their signature is on the page, but they have a record of breaking ceasefires. They did so in Gaza after the first attempt to stop the fighting there. They did so in the recent war, and they have taken every possible opportunity to fire at Hezbollah units in southern Lebanon and indeed in Beirut. And you kind of wonder why the Hezbollahis got involved in the first place after the 28th of February. And I think they must have done that probably because the Iranians, their backers, their sponsors, their financiers, had told them to do so. So they had to act out of solidarity. But I mean, they knew when they did this on the 29th of February that this was the death knell, or the 1st of March, whatever it was. This would be really bad news for them.
You see there's a question, will Hezbollah hold the line here? But there's questions if Israel will too. And much of the commentary I saw this morning was scepticism coming from Israel that Benjamin Netanyahu had promised that this time the sort of ongoing conflict with Hezbollah would end differently than it did in the past. But this deal, this agreement, this ceasefire as it stands, is quite similar to a ceasefire that was in 2024 that wasn't effective at all.
Well, indeed. I mean, look, the big problem for the Israelis is that they, because they have decided that there's only a military solution to their problems and to their foes in the neighborhood and not a political solution, they are landed with what could be forever wars. Now, these forever wars, whether they're against Hezbollah or Hamas or indeed Iran, suit Benjamin Netanyahu on one level because, you know, if you're in the middle of a war, you're unlikely to change commander-in-chief. You know, he's got elections coming up later this year. And I think he has bargained on this notion that if you're in the middle of a war, a hot war with your big enemies around the corner, then people will probably vote for you again. However, what we've seen from opinion polls in Israel is that while the war against Hezbollah is popular and the war against Iran is even more popular because rightly Israelis feel threatened by these two entities, the popularity of the prime minister has not increased, even while the war with Iran was going on. Now that the war against Iran has been put on hold, and we don't have regime change because the country is still run by a chap called Khamenei, the younger, they still have weapons of mass destruction, and we still have a ballistic missile capability, although very diminished. And we don't really know what's happening to the uranium. I mean, last night on the tarmac, you know, he always gives these statements, doesn't he? Donald Trump does, when he's getting on a plane somewhere. So you hear the tarmac noise in the background. He suddenly threw out that actually the Iranians had offered up their uranium to give that to the Americans. And then he said that they had also promised to stop enriching for 20 years, which is one of the demands. But we haven't heard that from the Iranian side. And frankly, I think everything that comes out of the president's mouth, I would treat with a massive pinch of salt and skepticism.
Yeah, but, and I mean, he also said, which was really,
like the idea that this carries, you know, that there's unfinished business. That's what I'm trying to say. Really.
What is also interesting is what Donald Trump said about negotiations and peace talks. And he spoke as clearly and definitively as he always does. He also said on the tarmac last night, there will probably maybe be peace talks this weekend. So if this ceasefire holds, does that increase the likelihood of this happening? And on that point of that highly enriched uranium and Iran apparently suggesting, yeah, we've just agreed now to hand that over. I mean, is there truth in that, do you think? What is your instinct telling you, Matt, about the peace talks and the uranium?
Well, I think for both, you know, I'd be very skeptical. I mean, it's possible that they will go back to another round of peace talks. I think it's almost inevitable that they will, because it's unfinished business. And of course, the Pakistanis who are mediating want to carry on talking, and the Iranians want to be seen as the grown-ups in this fight. So they will carry on talking. And they made a massive deal of sending a very high-level delegation of their surviving leaders to Islamabad last weekend. So I'm sure there will be another round. But whether they will actually commit to the compromises that the Americans are demanding, well, that's the big question. And normally that kind of stuff takes weeks, if not months, not just 24 hours or 21 hours as the last talks took, or maybe another 16 hours. I mean, this is real commitment. And normally what happens in these talks is that you send in the Sherpas, the underlings who go in and thrash out a deal, and then the big chaps turn up and do the photo op. But with Trump, it's always the other way around. He wants to send either himself or maybe Vance or Marco Rubio you know, get the big moment, the big theatrical moment out of the way at the beginning to sort of kickstart the process and to have that moment in the Kleeglights. But then the follow-up is always a bit flimsy. So I'm assuming that he's not changed his tactics. That's probably what we're going to see next. And then it's a question of what you get out of it, right? So if Iran stays as it is, even if it gives up, you know, some of its enriched uranium, or, you know, it, you know, pledges not to enrich for another 20 years or whatever they come up with, as far as the Israelis are concerned, it's the same people in charge, possibly even more brutal than they were before, towards their own people and their neighbors. And everyone will treat this with a degree of skepticism and watch the alliances that are currently taking place between the Gulf states, who feel let down by Donald Trump, and the Israelis and the Saudis, of course, and what they do about Iran in the future. This has got unfinished business written all over it.
And we will be watching it here on News Talk right throughout the day, and I'm sure right across the weekend programmes and on Channel 4 News as always. Matt Fry, thanks for your time this morning.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.